Hello and welcome to another edition of the Purple Theory Podcast. My name's Grant McGalliard. Have alongside with me my co-host, my friend, Parker Fleming. Parker, how are you?
Grant, I'm doing well. Had a big win in the personal life today, so that goes on top of the big win on the TCU life this week. So just a couple wins stacked together this week. Feels really nice, you know? Still chomping on, still figuring out what does it mean that TCU is a top 10 team. But Grant, here we are. By God, they're undefeated and they're a top 10 team.
I'm going to be in Fort Worth on Saturday to watch a top 10 TCU team play football, and that doesn't feel like a sentence that should exist in the year 2022, and yet here we are, Parker.
I feel like we've done like some low stakes listener challenges, like, hey, if you listen this far, yeah, Tweet me this thing, or, you know, tell Grant he's a communist or whatever.
I forgot about that one.
Here's the high stakes challenge. Follower that I don't personally know, so I'm excluding like Sailors and Cartwright and all those jabronis from this. Follower that I don't know in person, selfie with Grant. That's the challenge this weekend. Find him, get a selfie with him.
I'm tall and I'm wearing a gray pullover, and I'll be standing next to my dad, who will undoubtedly be wearing his lucky TCU Hawaiian shirt. If you can find me in the concourse, we'll be there. I forgot about Grant's a communist. That certainly was a bit.
I think only like three people did it, but it's still very funny.
One of them was my cousin. Parker, you and I have been to two TCU games together. I guess not counting Colorado. It was West Virginia, and it was Texas last year, and both of them were losses. So I don't think two of us can be in the same stadium.
No, I don't think we're allowed to. I'll tell you, if TCU wins this weekend, I'm going to look hard at a plane ticket to Texas Tech, but y'all know what plane tickets look like, man. I just can't. It's pretty rough.
Inflation. Yeah, you were telling me about that off air.
Should have planned, man. Should have planned. Let me tell you, and that's why I'm going to vote for. Anyway, I do have a real piece of banter here. Bud Elliott, our friend, been on the podcast before, and he in the Cover 3 podcast today did something. They did some trades, and I haven't listened to the show, been pretty busy, but he and I were chatting a little bit about like college football trades, which trades like would make sense for a team to kind of improve them overall. And I floated to him the idea that TCU would trade Tay Barber to somebody for a linebacker. Yeah. Not that I don't love Tay Barber. I just think he's a little bit redundant with Darius Davis and the depth on this field. And TCU desperately needs a linebacker. He countered because somebody replied to him and said Arkansas could trade Bumper Pool to TCU for Quentin Johnston. Grant,
no.
I just need your reaction there on the top of that. Now, granted, Bumper Pool is an excellent name.
He sure is.
An excellent name. But linebacker is very much TCU's thinnest position, especially with Marcel Brooks down here. But if you're asking me where the line is between what can you trade and still be good, I think it's somewhere between Tay Barber and Quentin Johnston for the offense.
Somewhere in the middle of that.
It made me think about those PETA billboards where it's like it has like, you know, like a
dog,
horse
and
a cow. Yeah. And it's like, where's the line? And someone goes in and draws them like right here. And that's how I kind of thought that this is like, where's the line between these two guys? Yeah.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Live on air. Would you trade Kendre Miller for Bumper Pool? Or linebacker X?
My answer to this is gonna be contrary to a lot of my running backs don't matter stuff, but it's not like Imari DeMarcado is bad. I just feel like he as a number one running back is probably an entirely different situation than TCU is in right now. If Imani Bailey was who we thought he was, maybe, but I feel like Kendre Miller is creating way too much value for this offense as well. Yeah. You can only kick so many wheels out from under a car before it won't run anymore, right?
Sure. I wouldn't trade Kendre either. I think Tay Barber's about right. Although I will say I value Tay Barber, and I may be overrating him slightly just because of one catch he made against Kansas. But he's got better downfield catching chops than I think people give him credit for.
Well, then TCU gives him credit for.
Fella. Yeah, exactly. He adds a dimension. I don't think he's a one-to-one likeness with Darius Davis. So it would be a hard asset to let go. But for a solid linebacker, I think that's probably the line that I'm willing to draw. Okay. It better be a damn good linebacker because I do like Tay.
I'll make a concession. I'll trade Andrew Coker for Bumper Pool.
The sad part is I was just about to make that
joke. It was there. It was just hanging. I think we were kicking it back and forth. It was like a game of tetherball, Grant. One of us was going to hit it eventually. We're just kind of let it swing around for a little bit there.
Oh, man.
Holy cow. Georgia State is up 14-0 on App State. They were a 10-point dog going into this game. Damn.
App may have blown their load on the Troy Hill area.
I hate that you just said that phrase on this good Christian podcast. My goodness.
I didn't think that through. Parker, we should address something you alluded to earlier. This is me hard pivoting out of the phrase I just said, which I'm not going to cut because I edit this podcast and I'll own my mistakes. Sad news, Marcel Brooks is out for the season. Season-ending knee injury that decimates the TCU linebacker core, ruins one of the bits we have on this podcast, but most importantly, Marcel was coming into his own, man. He played valuable snaps. It's a shame to see his season end. Hopefully he can come back healthy next year because I do think he still has more football to play. He's too good of an athlete not to. Just sucks, you know?
Yeah, in the interest of being a stats-based podcast, he's at a 70.7 defensive grade this season. Four pressures, six tackles in 63 snaps, so very productive there overall. And again, just came back from injury to Oklahoma, so it stinks to have a guy who was held up because of injury come back, provide a little bit of a spark, especially in that Kansas game, and then be out again as well. So that's pretty disappointing. Feel bad for him. But the wheel of time marches on, man. Like
maybe it means more Shad Banks snaps.
I don't know. I was trying to get a bit there. I was just like, dude, I don't know.
I don't want to make a bit about his knee injury. It just blows. I don't know.
It gets so thin after. Okay, wait. Yeah. Don't look this up. Who has more snaps this season, Shad or Marcel?
Are we counting kick returns there?
No. Only defensive snaps.
I'll say Marcel by 3.
Shad by 23. That seems out of line with what I think. Yeah, that's weird. That's crazy.
That might have been the Tarleton game. I'm curious to see game by game snap count there.
Can I read you some names that we're going to get familiar with?
Okay.
With Marcel Brooks out. Wyatt Harris. Zach Marchiselli. You gotta get some emphasis on it. Like you're a character in The Sopranos. You gotta be on your hat. Luke Lingard is a player.
We do this podcast twice a week. I don't know who that is.
Thomas Armstrong. I heard good things about Thomas Armstrong, but I think that was like you're a hard worker kind of a guy.
I thought he was hurt.
Maybe he's hurt. Maybe I'm just being a dick. I don't know. Hey, Grant.
Harris, yeah.
This is the Kansas State preview. I don't know if we said that out loud. Yeah, I feel like for SEO purposes, we're supposed to say that before the first 15 minutes of the podcast go by.
Does SEO work in an audio medium? I don't know if SEO analyzes what you say. I bet
they do coming soon. I bet Blake Crouch is going to write a book about it. You guys know about Blake Crouch? You know about Blake Crouch?
I do not know.
Okay, so you got to rein me in at some point here. We'll talk about TCU football, but I'm going to go on this.
Do it now.
Okay, I like Neal Stephenson books, right? Neal Stephenson is like an Uber nerd. Neal Stephenson will go and learn about something like spaceflight or linguistics or virology or cryptology, and he'll study it for like 6 months and do nothing else, and then he'll write this like insanely dense novel, and you learn a ton about it. It's very interesting. He's like a very forward-thinking kind of futuristic guy. He basically asks and answers questions about the future using fiction, right? Blake Crouch is kind of like that, but he's like the Michael Crichton version, so it's like very popular of like, a disease messes with your genes. Boom, I'm just going to run with that. And like, that's all I'm going to know.
Oh, yeah.
Is a disease messes with your genes. So anyway, he probably has a book about,
was that the whole point of that diatribe?
I don't know, man. I've been talking so much.
Blake
Crouch
might have a book.
I think he does, though. I think there's one about, you talk and it gets registered. I don't know, man. This is a terrible intro. This is you want to start over, or you just want to pull a plug right now?
This is the Kansas State podcast. Parker, I'm going to crib from your notes, if you don't mind. The Kansas State Wildcats
I love the idea of, like, physically inflicting pain on our listeners. Like, the better that TCU football gets, the more random nonsense we talk about.
We gave, like, serious analysis about, like, an ass-kicking at the hands of Kansas State last year. And this year, when we're undefeated, it's like, hey, Blake Crouch, have you heard of him? One last thing. Happy Matt Jennings Day to all. We're recording this on Matt Jennings Day. It's a one-year anniversary. I hope you're celebrating privately with family. I chose today to fast personally to celebrate, but just you know, happy Matt Jennings Day to those who know. Kansas State is 5-1. They come in, so your win expectancy is TCU is a 64.42% chance to win this game. Kansas State's 43rd in EPA margin per play. Offensive success rate of 87, defensive success rate of 16. We knew going into the season that Kansas State's defense, especially that front, was going to be a dog. So Parker, tell me a little bit more about the Kansas State Wildcats.
Yeah, a really interesting unit. Maybe definitely the most complete team that TCU has seen. Grant, this opened at TCU -6 at some books and currently sits at TCU -3.5. So there's definitely some thoughts here about how competitive Kansas State is going to be. They're definitely more defensive heavy than offensive heavy. 19th in EPA per play on defense, 78th in EPA per play on offense. For contrast, TCU 6th in EPA per play offense and 74th in EPA per play defense. But Grant, really big difference there. They're 87th in offensive success rate, 78th in offensive EPA per play. So they're much more explosive. The whole offense is, yeah. Can Adrian Martinez or Deuce Vaughn do something stupid? If you look at their receiving, they only have 4 receiving touchdowns this entire season, Grant. Mm-hmm. And if you look at rushing, they have 15. So they are they're not really moving the ball through the air. A 94th in passing success rate, Grant, 37.1% success rate in the pass overall. Grant, they are rushing 11.7% more than the average team. That's 122nd in rush rate over expected. So run heavy, really not a lot of success. They're really relying on the big play, and they can create the big play pretty well.
One stat you have that kind of sticks out to me too, Parker, is third downs. If you look at Kansas State on offense, they are 111th in third and fourth down success rate at just 35.23%. For perspective, TCU's middle of the road at 55th, and they're at 41.86%. And their defense also gives up a lot of success on first and second down, 74.73% success rate for opponents on first and second down. Again, for perspective, well, am I reading that stat right, Parker?
No, this is my fault. I've been meaning to change this. I think I'm just going to make this like average third down distance or something, because that's percent of your first downs that come on first and second down. So they're allowing a lot of what you said was correct, but then how you framed it was incorrect. And I can't let things go.
This is good. Yeah, this is good.
I was talking to my therapist about this the other day, and he said, you got to let things go. But 122nd in first percent of first and second downs allowed means that if teams are getting first downs, they're getting them on first and second down. They're not going to third down against Kansas State. They're moving the ball. So you see that they're 7th in third and fourth down success, right? 31.08% third and fourth down success rate. Really good at third and fourth down success rate. But because they're so bad at letting you get first downs on first and second down, what that tells me is third downs for Kansas State's defense are often like 3rd and 8. They're low probability conversion because normally they're going to let you get a first down on the first and second down and avoid third downs altogether.
Kind of a boom or bust thing on first and second down where opponents are saying, hey, you know, we're going to go deep. We're going to try things. And if they don't work, okay, now we're in a 3rd and 8 and Kansas State thrives on 3rd and 8, for example. That's a good explainer. But again, those are downs to watch. Right, it's 3rd and 4th down for Kansas State on offense, and then 1st and 2nd down for TCU. Can they get those big plays before they're thrown into a scenario where they have to make a big play against a Kansas State defense that is adept at stopping those when they need to?
Yeah. Roger Williams, a Puritan, said forced worship stinks in God's nostrils. And it's kind of the same thing with explosive plays here, right? Like if you were trying to force an explosive play against this Kansas State defense, it's not going to happen. You've got to take advantage of those uncertain situations, and you've got to take advantage of those early downs where they don't know if you're trying to get 3 or 10 yards and really make something happen early, because once the script flips, they're really going to stop you. And so kind of that uncertainty early is really important. TCU second and early downs EPA has historically been good about that. That's where that Quentin Johnston play kind of happens. But yeah, overall, a little bit worrisome with how good they are on third and fourth downs if TCU can't get ahead of the sticks.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and talk about, you talked about what TCU needs to do on offense in those early downs, but let's talk about the Kansas State offense. Adrian Martinez, one of, I think, 8 different Nebraska quarterbacks that have Martinez as a last name. Really, it's only 2, Taylor and Adrian, but transferred to Kansas State this year and has really come into his own. Decimated Oklahoma with his legs, notably in a big game when we thought Oklahoma was good. Him, Deuce Vaughn, Malik Knowles at wide receiver, Parker, Kansas State has weapons, and they're not afraid to use them, especially with Chris Klieman doing his thing on the offensive end.
Yeah, so again, really boom or bust, but they have really good kind of boom options. Again, I read the passing touchdowns earlier, maybe not as explosive through the air, but this run game and Adrian Martinez on scrambles will absolutely murder you. So Deuce Vaughn is 5.6 yards per attempt. He's 2.78 yards per contact after contact. But Grant, the problem is you just don't touch him very often. He has 18 runs of 10 plus yards, and he's almost perfectly balanced. 64 of his runs are zone, 55 are gap. So they're doing a lot of weird different things with him.
Say that again.
64 of his runs are zone, 55 are gap. I paused there too because I was like, I'm not saying percent.
okay. Just want to make sure.
Deuce Vaughn is so explosive, Grant. He's a 200. He's 130% rushing. So again, 18 runs, excuse me, of 10 plus yards. They're extremely explosive. And Adrian Martinez has 17 runs of 10 plus yards. 12 zone runs for Adrian Martinez, mostly gap for him, 47, but he has 14 scrambles as well. So really balanced in kind of how they attack the run game. Between those two, this is my last word vomit here. Between those two, 59 rushing first downs. Kansas State has 71 total rushing first downs. 59 of them are Adrian Martinez and Deuce Vaughn. Like that's the offense right there. I want to ask you about Adrian Martinez in the pass game, if that's okay. If you have something on the run game, let's talk about it.
No, Martinez has progressed quite a bit.
Is he good?
I think he is. Okay, so last week we rated Spencer Sanders as pretty good, right? Mm-hmm. Better than good. He's not very good, but he's pretty good. I think Adrian Martinez is flat good. Okay, so just going by PFF grades alone, and then we'll get into some other stuff. 2018 at Nebraska, he started basically as a freshman. His passing grades were 71.2. As a sophomore, 47.2. Yikes, that's, I think, first year Scott Frost. 65.1, 70.4, 71.3. So he's progressed as a passer throughout his career. If you look at what Adrian Martinez has done this year as a passer, I think he might be a little more choosy. If that makes sense, I think he's making smarter decisions. And if my internet, which is the worst internet in the world, will cooperate, I will corroborate that with a couple of stats. Here we go. So, Martinez deep this year. He's only completed 4 out of 17 passes beyond 20 yards down the line of scrimmage. Not great. However, medium, he's 18 of 28, 64.3 completion percentage, 11.5 yards per attempt, has not thrown a pick. 10% of those passes have been dropped, so those aren't necessarily his fault. And 17 of his 18 completions have been for first downs, obviously because they're more than 10 yards past the line of scrimmage. 0 to 9 yards, he's at 77.2% completion percentage, 3.8 yards per attempt. 1 touchdown, 5.1 yards per attempt. So he's completing a lot of his passes in that 0 to 9 to 10 to 19 range. And the most important thing, he hasn't thrown an interception all year. So he's not great at the deep ball. I think Malik Knowles' talent is pretty much being wasted in this offense, but he can dice you up in that short to medium range passing. And I think he's progressed a lot from what we saw at Nebraska, just because he has a better system and the best weapon he's ever had, Malik Knowles.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll read a stat to you that I think is what stands out to me. Starting in 2018, here's Adrian Martinez's turnover-worthy play percent, right? 3.3, 5.5, 2.6, 3.7, and then 2022, 1.8, Grant. Much more judicious, excuse me. I like what you said there. Overall, and they do have some drop problems. I think behind Knowles, they really don't have a lot of wide receivers. We should talk about receivers here in a second. But Adrian Martinez is definitely extending plays with his legs, and he's really not feeling forced to throw the bad throws. What's crazy is the offseason, I said, you know, the big deal about Adrian Martinez is that he's pressured on almost 40% of dropbacks at Nebraska. We just don't know what he is with all those pressures. But he's pressured on 42% of dropbacks at Kansas State. He's still in pressure. He just feels a little bit more empowered, maybe has more idea of what is expected to him there. His pressure to sack ratio is 14.5, which ranks about seventh in the Big 12. So he's avoiding sacks. He's scrambling or throwing the ball away, again, raising the floor of that offense by not making those catastrophic turnover plays there. Very, very impressive from him, and great to see a kid kind of get a breath of fresh air.
No, absolutely. And you look at what this Kansas State team was a year, 2 years ago. Skylar Thompson was a Will Howard, I think, was the other QB. Kind of throwing wounded ducks into the air. The infamous Hail Mary. I think that was Will Howard. I don't want to put that on Skylar. But
Skylar's decent. Skylar was just hurt for a long time.
He's on NFL roster. But I think he had to throw a Hail Mary 60 yards and he threw it 40. Adrian Martinez can at least throw it 60. Yeah. But we're going to get to Deuce Vaughn because this is a Kansas State preview and you can't talk about Kansas State without talking about Deuce. But let's talk about the receivers real quick. Just looking at PFF, Malik Knowles has 29 targets for 20 receptions. Phillip Brooks, who mostly lines up in the slot, has 35 targets for only 21, so something to look out for there. Those are your two leading receivers. Cade Warner, I believe, transferred from Nebraska with Adrian Martinez. He's second at 21 targets and 14 receptions. Those numbers aren't outstanding, especially when you look at drop percentage. 16% for Phillip Brooks. Good God, that's basically one out of every six passes thrown his way he's going to drop. So there are weapons. There are also, you know, opportunities for TCU defenders to make a play and for Kansas State to shoot themselves in the foot in the passing game.
Yeah, I think what Oklahoma State did really well last week, Grant, was kind of you think about the big Spencer Sanders play that Bud Clark intercepted. That was going to be flagged for, he was flagged for, what's it called? Ineligible formation or whatever anyway. Yeah. So it didn't necessarily matter, but still that play was wide open and it would have been a touchdown. Play action crossing over the middle. I mean, just absolutely brutal there. And I think that Kansas State's going to try that. The issue is for them to get the ball that far downfield requires one that, Adrian Martinez doesn't bail from the pocket, whether that's the pocket, holds up that long or whether he can extend the play by moving around. And then two, that he can, you know, throw the ball and Knowles or Brooks or whoever will catch it. That seems like a very highly unlikely deal. I'm not as worried about the deep pass game from Adrian Martinez and Kansas State as I am the run game, just because it seems like, you know, Brooks, Knowles, Warner hasn't been great and they really haven't gotten Deuce Vaughn going. I'd actually be more worried about what's coming out of the backfield than the receivers in this game.
Yeah, and you mentioned something that I kind of find surprising. Deuce Vaughn's been targeted 19 times for 16 receptions. His average depth of target has been 0.7 yards. His yards per reception are 4.3, but his longest catch and has been 11 yards. So they haven't been able to scheme Deuce Vaughn open in space where he can take off and do what Deuce Vaughn does. So that's kind of surprising. I think he might break that against TCU because the linebacker core is weakened and they're not great in the pass game as they are. But that is something we thought prior to the season would be a weapon, and it hasn't really materialized yet for Kansas State.
Yeah, well, and I think in our previews, we also talked about, like, people have film on Deuce Vaughn, so they know that they're not going to get that little one-on-one linebacker matchup, and he's not getting faced as a linebacker. Like, linebackers are not covering him as much. They're putting a safety on him. That probably changes that as well.
But, okay, so if you're Joe Gillespie, who do you put on Deuce Vaughn? I mean, we've talked about Mark Perry being good in the run game, not in the pass.
not Mark Perry.
Nope. I love Mark Perry. That is not a an attack on Mark Perry. I just mean, you know.
Leave Mark Perry alone. Okay, so Abe is probably your slot guy, right? Like, not probably. He is. That is probably what you're seeing a lot of there. Because you go Newton, Hodges, Tomlinson on the outside. Abe is kind of that flex guy in the middle. If Bradford's healthy, I think that he would slot well in that situation. I don't know if he is. And you're looking at kind of the trio of like, can you afford to just spy, you know, in the pass game, just have Abe there? I think that's probably wasting him on kind of the slot guys. It'll be a situation where it benefits Kansas State to not have the ones-on-ones, right? Like, Deuce Vaughn is going to be on Bradford or, God help us, Josh Foster or Bud Clark, depending on who's healthy and kind of where they line up on a given play. But I think one of those kind of stronger safeties will be there.
Yeah. I think Abe be wasted just because his strengths are kind of coming over the top and kind of making those big hits, breaking up plays, as opposed to one-on-one man-to-man coverage.
And it's like, if he's involved in a lot of plays, you don't want him potentially wasted by, you know, Deuce Vaughn hesitating and he gets taken out of a play and wondering if he's going to go. Yeah, so
yeah,
we'll see.
He's too valuable as a rover. Let's talk about Deuce of the run game a bit. 5.6 yards per carry, 3 touchdowns. Honestly, Adrian Martinez has been the best runner for Kansas State this year at 6.9 yards per attempt. And 9 touchdowns, by the way, to Deuce Vaughn's 3. But Deuce can still break. He's his longest run's been 69 yards. Nice. He has 18 rushes over 10. What can you say about Deuce Vaughn that hasn't already been said? He is a very dynamic runner. He's shifty. He's very hard to tackle. He wears 22, but his name's Deuce. All of that's very cool.
Yeah, I mean, the vibes are immaculate from Deuce Vaughn, small, shifty guy. Very hard to track out of the backfield. Do feel like he's underutilized in the pass game. But if you look at the, you know, the Tulane game, they really tried. He had 8 targets. A lot of that is checking down and kind of figuring out. But I mean, his, you know, less than a yard per route run this year, he's largely wasted in the pass game, which seems like it's kind of like it's this on steroids. What is Jelani Woods was at Oklahoma State. And then he went to Virginia and had like this amazing productive season, and he's on an NFL roster now. You're just kind of like, dude, can you not get that guy involved in the pass game, Mike Gundy? What's going on? And they get Deuce Vaughn so involved in the run game that I understand, like, also you have to be able to breathe. Like, you have to be able to take a full running back load and then breathe in terms of, you know, the physical limitations there. But it's like, man, I really think they should get him more involved. Grant, do you have off the top of your head the idea of what play worked really, really well against TCU last week when Spencer Sanders was tired, couldn't get the ball downfield, and Oklahoma State was still running really long routes? That little halfback drop-off, little check down was very productive there. I could see a little bit of two-man ball here where it's basically like, you know, Madden 2003 or whatever, the Donovan
Texas Madden route, baby.
Yeah,
that just circle. Dude, I had Madden 06. No, not 06. I had a Madden for the Game Boy, and I just ran Texas every play and threw it to my running back. And that's a very possible outcome of this game.
I think weak linebacking core, maybe some uncertainty about health in the secondary. If I can get guys out of the way and give the ball to Deuce Vaughn in space, or, you know, if they're committing to sitting back on that, let Adrian Martinez get a head full of steam for 5 or 6 yards and then run in the open field. I think that's the recipe for success here. You know, Kansas State has not really shown that they can move the ball successfully. I'll say again, 87th in offensive success rate. They are not doing a good job at kind of the down-to-down business of moving the football. But what they're doing a great job at is getting the big play to kind of turn a drive, turn a game. And that's what TCU has also kind of struggled at, is that big play overall.
Yeah, and listen, I'll bring up caveman stats here. I mean, Kansas State thrived against an Oklahoma defense that we have now found out to be kind of flawed. And by kind of flawed, I mean very flawed. But look at points scored against actual opponents. Missouri, they scored 40. Fine. Tulane, they were held to 10. They did score 37 against Texas Tech, but that's a bad defense. And then Iowa State, that game was 10-9, and it was brutal to watch. This is a team, like you said, explosive plays, but if you play solid defense against them, they're not going to march the ball down the field. There was evidence of that throughout their entire performance this year. Look, they only scored 34 against South Dakota. And I don't want to demean the people of South Dakota, but still.
You know, some people are saying that there is not much between the pole and South Dakota, Grant.
That is a joke for like five people, but I do appreciate it.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, again, I think that the defense is far more worrisome. I mean, obviously, Kansas State's going to do this. What they're going to do on offense, before we transition to defense, what they're going to do is they're going to do very little, frustratingly little on drives, and then they're going to have an insane Adrian Martinez play. I'm a little bit worried about that because you saw in the first two drives last week that Spencer Sanders with his legs really made a kind of dimensionality shift in what the TCU defense could cover. Can TCU's defense put a ceiling on that? Can they make sure that Adrian Martinez has a couple runs of 20 yards and not that Adrian Martinez has a couple runs of 60 yards? That's going to be a big deal.
Yeah, and I last week against Spencer Sanders, Sanders is a good runner. He's not as good as Adrian Martinez. I think he's a better thrower than Adrian Martinez. So it's a different challenge. But in the second half, I think TCU adjusted well to Oklahoma State trying to run the ball with the quarterback. I think against Kansas, they did a good job kind of covering that option and shutting down the quarterback running game, both with and without Jalen Daniels. So the defense can do it. I just worry about overcommitting to it and then having Deuce Vaughn or someone over the middle carve us up.
Yep.
As we oversell.
Because Parker, that's something that Oklahoma State didn't have. Oklahoma State didn't have the right, you know, the serious threat out of the backfield as a receiver as well. So, let's talk about the defense. Let's talk about this defense.
I would appreciate that. Parker has yelled at me for not being a good yes and partner. I tried to do a really good transition there, and Parker just said, no, I have one more point to get. Felix and Adike Ozuma.
Grant, can we say it out loud? He had six sacks. I don't care what the stat nerd said. He had six sacks against TCU last year. Granted, it's not fair because it was against TCU, but it's still a hell of a game. Overall, very, very impressive from quote-unquote King Felix there.
Correct.
I think he's
already has 6 sacks. Yeah, and he has 6 sacks this year already with 13 pass rushers.
My God.
I know. Brendan Mott at the other edge has 11 hurries, 2 sacks. Look, the front line of this Kansas State defense is insane. Jalen Pickle, I just wanted to say his name, but he also has a sack. And 6 pass rushes at the edge.
If you get sacked by Jalen Pickle, if you get beat by Jalen Pickle, you deserve to get beat. You deserve to get benched. His name's Pickle.
I've so many getting beat by a pickle jokes that I will not make on this here podcast.
Maturity is realizing that no jokes in that genre are as funny as you want them to be.
Disagree, but we'll and then you have Khalid Duke at linebacker, Dana Green at linebacker, Austin Moore at linebacker. I mean, look, the Kansas State runs a 3-down. It's almost kind of a similar, I think, 3-3-5 to kind of what TCU runs. It's a hybrid 3-3-5-3-4, but they put 3 guys on the line and say, hey, beat us, and a lot of teams can't. They get a ton of pressure with those guys, and it's going to be kind of like what TCU faced last week against Oklahoma State, where that's the best I think the TCU offensive line has played this year. They're going to have to better that against Kansas State if they want to win.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really an issue where, you know, Oklahoma State last week kind of had some issues on the back end where if you could stress the front seven, you could exploit the back end. Here, you've got, I mean, Sincere Mason at safety has turned out to be a really, really interesting guy there. But, you know, Hayes, Brents, at cornerback, I know that EBD has been good as well for them. He's been targeted a lot just as that number one, but I mean, they have so many guys in the secondary that are legitimately good, and this just overwhelming, fierce pass rush that even if you can kind of, you know, keep an extra guy in, maybe deflect this pass rush a little bit, going to be pretty hard to exploit over the top this secondary as well. So eighth in EPA per pass. That includes, you know, for the uninitiated, sacks are counted in pass plays. Scrambles are counted as pass plays. So really good job at really stopping the pass game. That's best on best. That's the best unit versus the best unit here in this game. Eighth in EPA per pass defense for Kansas State. 12th in EPA per pass offense for TCU. They're 73rd in EPA per rush, which maybe is good for Kendre Miller. But 46th in rushing success rate allowed. A couple of those big have been big plays. And so TCU is going to have to capitalize when they got open space in the run game. They're going to have to make it count because Kansas State's been pretty good at kind of the overall success there.
Yeah. And you look at the guys that are in coverage. If we want to go that route, Austin Moore, linebacker, has actually been targeted the most times at 27. He's allowed 70.4% reception. So if they want to get TCU hasn't really gotten Kendre or Amari DiMercato or whoever involved in the passing game. I'm fine with that, but this may be an opportunity to do so. And even if they get a slot guy matched up on Moore, that could be an opportunity there. EBD, Josh Hayes are both, I mean, both fairly good. EBD, 56.5% reception rate against Josh Hayes at 60.9. So Kansas State's cornerbacks are tough. If you look, they don't break up a lot of passes. EBD has 3, Josh Hayes has 2. So they're not making big plays. I think they're just giving solid coverage and saying, hey, you know, don't bother throwing it our way.
It wouldn't surprise me if we see like a very turnover free game just from these two offenses. Not necessarily anything about these quarterbacks that aren't turnover prone, but just to say both offensive coordinators have a good leash on this is the kind of throw I'm comfortable asking my quarterback to make. And so that'll be interesting to see if someone does make a turnover, that's going to decide the game. You looked at that, like that Kansas State, Iowa State game should have been a blowout. Kansas State makes a turnover on like an absolutely freak play. It wasn't anything, you know, kind of the down and down business of football there. So, a very consistent team overall, very rush heavy in the offense and very, minimizing damage in the pass game and the defense. I think this is a team that's well positioned to actually give TCU some fits this weekend.
Yeah. After Oklahoma State, obviously the remaining schedule, it's this game in Texas that I think worries me the most. Obviously Baylor is Baylor. That's a rivalry game. If you'll allow me a cliche, Parker, we can throw the record books out the window
when it comes just to throw them out.
But just got to throw them out. But Kansas got to throw them out. But Kansas State and Texas, I think, are the two remaining teams that will give TCU the most trouble. I said before the beginning of the year, I am very high on Kansas State. I stand by that. I think they're one of the best two or three teams of the conference. So it's gonna be tough. I'm excited to be there. Night kickoff. TCU wearing all black uniforms. Going to be very fun. If you're interested, Parker and I did, I think it was January or February of last year, did a rewatch of the TCU Kansas State game in 2014. So go back and listen to that. Colin Klein, Grant, the quarterback. Yeah.
That was 2020, dude. That was pandemic. Oh,
we are old as hell.
Yeah. Life is passing on, man.
It wasn't even Colin Klein. It was like Jake somebody.
It was Jake Waters, who was Colin Klein with a mustache.
It was Colin Klein doing the he was the old Nets manager that came back into the dugout with a mustache.
Oh, I know the anyway, meme. I have no idea. Yeah.
Colin Klein, by the way, now the OC at Kansas State. But those games are always fun. Parker, there's a topic I wanted to get to. Do you have anything else to say about Kansas State?
No, I mean, so many things, but also no other things. I think we've done a good job at kind of laying out the foundations here and talking about it. So what you got?
You floated a question to our followers. Oh, gosh. How many states would you rather live in than Kansas? I've thought about this a lot. I'm pulling up now a map of the United States. I have one hanging over my bed, but I want to make sure I get this correctly. I think Kansas is probably solidly 40th. I think I would rather live in Kansas than maybe 10 more states.
I'm counting. Hold on.
I know, I am too. I'm pulling up this map. Which is the most pathetic thing in the world. As if I don't know what the United States is. Here's where I'll start. Delaware, out. Alaska, out. I like Alaska, but it doesn't have the same like climate advantages as Hawaii, and I need to watch games, so I need to be live there. Alabama, but not Mississippi. Alabama's out. South Carolina's out. Florida's out. I'd rather live in Kansas than Iowa, so Iowa's out. Nevada's out. The Dakotas are out. I think Kentucky and Indiana are out. So I think that's at least 10. Maryland's definitely out.
Interesting. Yeah, I have some like areas where I'm like, no, I don't want that at all. I will say, I actually really like Kansas. I like the Kansas City area. I think it's nice. It's got a lot of amenities. You're, you know, feasibly close to, you can drive to a lot of places in America from there. It's very central. They need to fix their airport situation, but they have good food and they've got, you know, a lot of attractions there. Breweries, if you're into it. The extreme weather is something that I just don't handle well. I didn't like living in North Texas and handling the extreme weather. I don't like, you know, just, hey, there's hail or a tornado or something. So it's pretty low on my list just because I don't really like that kind of extreme tornado weather. But in terms of like quality of life outside of that, I think it's actually pretty high. I think it gets a bad rap.
What state do you least want to live in?
New York.
Okay. Well, are New York City, but I think upstate New York is pretty.
Yeah, high taxes. Upstate New York would be fine.
Indiana's my least. I really want to go to Wisconsin.
Heard great things about Milwaukee. Heard great things.
Heard great things. This is not what this podcast is about.
The Dakotas are hard. Like, they're cool, and there are cool things there. Like, shout out to Spearfish, South Dakota. I would absolutely live there. But, man, that just gets... It's like all of the winter with none of, like... In Minnesota, right, you get the same winter that you get in North Dakota, but you at least have some amenities and some, like, things you can do. North Dakota just feels hard, man. It's just hard to live like that. I'm soft. Fargo. I can't do that.
One other thing, too. Wichita Lineman is the best country song about Kansas. It's maybe the best country song, top to bottom.
No, okay. Well, no, but... Yes, best song about country, Kansas. Yeah, probably.
It's the first existential country song.
It's true. I do like the idea of like the philosopher welder kind of a guy, like the welder who reads philosophy in his spare time, and Wichita Lineman kind of introduces that American ideal.
Wichita Lineman still on the line. Parker, we have best case, worst case, or listener predictions, and I will let you choose. What do you want
to do? Let's do best case, worst case. We'll leave the listeners till the end. That's great. We'll close on that. We'll do worst case
too, but sure.
Oh yeah, we'll do worst case first again. Let's just keep it rolling.
Worst case first. Okay. There is a world where Adrian Martinez and Deuce Vaughn and the combination of such just decimates TCU. The wide receivers for Kansas State can make plays between Brooks and Knowles, but I think this is a game where TCU gets beat on the ground in the worst case. I don't think it's going to be high scoring in the worst case, so I'm going to say 24-10 Kansas State.
Yeah, interesting. I think this could get really ugly. I'm looking at the game logs from last year just to appropriately contextualize this.
That's different. That was a whole other thing. That was before Matt Jennings day.
Matt Jennings. But like, Oklahoma State had 447 rushing yards against TCU last year. Jesus.
Yeah, man.
They could have hit 1,000 pretty easily if they had wanted to. I think this is, a very like, the reason that I don't think that a Kansas State win is going to be super high scoring is not because I don't think their offense is good, but it's like the style of play is very much like, jab, 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 haymaker. And so if there's only three haymakers and TCU can't connect and Kansas State can, you know, you're still looking at like 24 to 28 points. So let's say there's a defensive score as well for Kansas State. Best case scenario, they get some kind of special teams, defense, non-offensive score there. I'll go like 28-17, 28-14 is a really bad game for TCU. We're not feeling very good about that at all.
No. But let's talk about best case. I do think there is a world where TCU wins this game by two scores. I think that would involve the wide receivers for TCU kind of making plays against Kansas State defensive backs. The offensive line kind of repeats their performance that they had against Oklahoma State. So this turns into 38-20 TCU.
Man, I love that. I really think that I'm a little bit more pessimistic on TCU's best case scenario. I think their best case scenario is they just ride out the wave of Kansas State's explosive plays. I think TCU's linebacker depth and front three issues are really hard to overcome. I could see TCU's best case scenario. This is like 35-27, 35-24 for TCU.
Okay.
Like very uncomfortable. Like 35-24 would be a very uncomfortable 11-point win. Yeah.
Yeah. What's your actual prediction?
This is not going to be fun. That's my actual prediction. I feel like this game is going to be very stressful because Kansas State is like one play away from just punching it in, you know? My numbers have TCU 29, Kansas State 24. I'm going to say Kansas State gets a dumb touchdown. I think the fun ends here. I know I'm doing it. I think I'm going to go 31-30 Kansas State.
Yeah. Okay. I don't like that, but we're
flipping. No, I don't either.
No. We're flipping from last week. I think TCU gets it done. I think it's – I like 31 for TCU. I think it's 31-20 TCU. I think they win by two scores. But – and we're not comfortable. It's a very uncomfortable 11-point win, but I think it's 31-20.
31-20. I like that. Again, we're basically saying, like, does Kansas State get the special team score? Do they get some kind of stupid score? And if they do, I think they'll win. If they don't, I don't think they'll win. Yeah. I'm comfortable with that.
All right. Let's get to listener predictions. Starting with the Kansas native, Yell MK. Darius Davis MVP, D Winters defensive MVP, 27-24 Frogs. Also, he would rather live in a lot of states, and he grew up in Kansas City. Scott Wildcat, enemy of the podcast, 96-6 Cats. Okay, Scott. Adam, TC Lotus Leaves. Kansas would beat Delaware, Indiana, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Mississippi. QJ, offensive MVP, 30-27. All of you sent in your states you would rather live in or Kansas would beat. We appreciate those. Those are a lot. We're not going to read them in the podcast, but if you want to read them, go to Stats of War on Twitter and find the responses.
We'll talk about them on Twitter. Someone said Maine, and I am here to fight about that. That's dead ass wrong.
I have a friend that lives in Maine now. It sounds sick.
Maine rules.
Yeah. Master of Activities, JD Sailors. Offensive MVP, Max Through the Air. Defensive MVP, Jamoy Hodge. 31-20, Kansas, TCU. Let's see here. Clift Lee, Darius Davis offense, Abe Kamara defense, 42-35 TCU speed kills. Bogdan Bogdanovich, who you flagged, was his Oklahoma State prediction dead on?
Yes, let me pull that up. Go to someone else. Let me pull that one up real quick.
Okay, well, I'll read his prediction. He predicted Savion Williams, offensive MVP, Josh Newton defense, TCU 31-28. CB Frog 3 had Kendry and Abe and 34-27 TCU. What was Bogdan's?
Bogdan said, he sent me this, which absolutely, take your lap, dude. TCU 31, Oklahoma State 24. Late touchdown seals it for the Frogs. Not untrue. And then he said, offensive MVP was Jared Wiley with a big fourth quarter score. Defensive MVP, Mark Perry. Yep.
Oh.
You win.
Yeah, yep. No. Nailed it.
Absolutely.
Nailed it. Could someone predict like Shadrach to be the defensive MVP this week just so we can see it?
Bogdan, do that if you're listening.
You know what we should have done? If we were organized and we were really fun, we would have done like a survivor pool where you get to pick a game that Shad Banks has an interception. But if you pick wrong, so you can't just pick it every game, right? And say he's going to do everything.
Right.
It's if you pick wrong, you get eliminated. But no one wins unless someone picks the game that he has an interception in.
I'm picking Baylor again, by God.
Yeah.
Walter McInnes, Kendrick Miller, and Bud Clark, 49-16 TCU. 49-16, Walter. I hope you're right.
Love the energy, my dude. Love it.
Love the energy. Crix at Crix_TV. Kendrick Miller, Johnny Hodges, TCU 42, Kansas State 24. Stephen J. Anderson, Quentin Johnston, D. Winters 28-24. Payson Hatfield, Max and Abe Kamara, TCU 31, Kansas State 17, Frog Leg Season, King Felix and AJ Martinez, Buddy, not now, Kansas State 38, TCU 21. Come on, man, we expected better from you, Frog Leg Season. Falcon Count.
No, we didn't. Frog Leg Season, that's a Kansas State guy.
I know, but I expected you to know what you are. Ray Cartwright, never heard of him before. Savion Williams and Josh Newton, 41-20.
Are you pronouncing that correctly? Ray Cartwright, is that it?
I think so.
Okay. No, it's a new name. I don't know. I just never seen it before.
You've seen Seinfeld. You know the Chinese restaurant episode where George is waiting for a phone call and it's like, yo, Cartwright. Who's Cartwright? I'm Cartwright. You're not. Of course I'm not Cartwright.
Oh my God.
Duncan Soul, Kendre Miller, Dylan Horton, TC 28, Kansas State 27. Physical ass football about to go down.
Ass football.
Andy Swain, Darius Davis gets a get right game. I hope so. And THT gets picked. TC 34, Kansas State 30. And finally, K State Man. Thank you for listening. But he predicts a score of 69-4.20, to which I respect that.
That's fun. I like the broad array there. I like just getting the perspectives.
Parker, you have somewhere to be. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through the Big 12 games, and then we're going to go through three top 25 games. So we're going to start with Big 12.
Okay.
Baylor is an 8-point favorite hosting Kansas. I think Baylor wins and covers.
I think that's probably what happens. By the numbers, that's a little too much, but I think Kansas, we've had our fun. It was fun.
It was fun.
They've still had an amazing season, regardless of what happens down the stretch here. But I think that defense is just not good, man. Just not good.
No, that doesn't mean Kansas can't win more games. They're just not going to win this game. West Virginia at Texas Tech. Tech is a 6.5-point favorite. That's too much. But I don't. This game gives me the heebie-jeebies. I would not bet on it. I bet the over, which is 65. But
I like the over's down to 65. It was 68 yesterday, so that's pretty significant movement. I actually took this on the BetUS show and as one of my best bets on Parker's previews. I like West Virginia plus the points here. I think this is too much. Too many points.
Okay. Oklahoma State is a 6.5-point dog hosting Texas. I like Oklahoma State here.
I like Texas. I'm going with the road favorite here.
Yeah, boy. By a touchdown?
Oklahoma State's struggling, man. I think Spencer Sanders is hurt.
I don't know.
Texas is getting better week to week. We'll see.
We will see. Okay, let's go national. Clemson is a 13.5-point favorite hosting Syracuse. Syracuse refuses to die. I think Syracuse covers. I don't know if they win, but I think they'll make it weird as hell. So
my prediction for this game, weird as hell is a good way to say it. My prediction for this game is that Clemson whoops their ass and still doesn't cover. I think Syracuse gets seriously beat and still somehow is within 14 points.
The weirdest team I've watched too much Syracuse football this year.
It's just one of those, like, in college football, injuries and timing matter so much. And Syracuse just every week has been like, oh, this is really good for you. Like, this is really nice that this worked out like this.
Oregon is a 6-point dog. 6-point favorite hosting UCLA. I'm staying away from this. If I had to pick, I think I would take UCLA to cover. But
I agree. I think Oregon's defense has some problems, and people are too quick to write that off to say, like, oh, it's because of the Georgia game. That was one game, dude. They've played a lot. They're giving up a lot of points.
Yeah.
Their defense has some issues. UCLA, Chip Kelly, death by a thousand cuts, Swiss Army knife, short, you know, short, just carving it up. I think really interesting. DTR versus Bo Nix is also a fascinating QB matchup because both of them have been very bad at times in their career, and this year they're both pretty good. So it's fun.
Yeah. And the last ranked matchup, Alabama is a 21-point favorite hosting Mississippi State. Alabama's going to win this game, but I think Mississippi State covers.
My only worry is that Mississippi State is so bad on the road, dude. So I'm pulling this up right here. Mississippi State on the road this season is – I should have had this up, but I didn't know which games we were going to ask. Here we go. They are – lost by 15 at LSU, lost by 10 at Kentucky. Those are their two. You know, the only other road game was Arizona. So seeing them versus SEC competition that I think they're better than on the road, got some issues. I would not want to play Alabama the week after they lost to Tennessee.
No, they'll be mad. They'll be very mad.
Yeah. Yeah. Not great. I like what Mississippi State's doing, but I think that I just continually give Mike Leach too much credit for like in-game adjustments that he doesn't actually make. And that's really what happened in the Kentucky game.
I have one thing that just struck my mind, and then I'll let you go.
Okay.
If TCU wins Saturday, they're 7-0. They're likely ranked 7th or 8th still. We're going to keep having to talk about playoff. How does that make you feel? Because I'm still very nervous.
Not good.
I don't want to look prosper. I don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth. I don't want to, you know, not stand the prosperity. But I don't know.
I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. If TCU loses this weekend, it's not like, you know,
life it's not the end of the world.
Gonna go crazy. But life's a dance. You learn as you go, Grant. Like, I don't know. We're just gonna figure that out, and we're gonna look at TCU is a team who has exceeded expectations, and now we're just saying, hey, did they, you know, hit the ceiling of what I expected? Is this just some positive variance against a couple of bad teams? They got Oklahoma in a good spot. Kansas had Jason Bean out. Spencer Sanders was hurt for Oklahoma State. Or is this a team that's really just performing well? I think, again, we've got an eliminator match here to say, is this an elite TCU team, or is this just a pretty good Big 12 team who's gotten some lucky bounces a la Baylor last year and Iowa State in 2020. I don't know. We're going to keep finding out.
As Corbin McCarthy wrote, there is no such joy in the tavern as upon the road thereto. thinking about being good is a lot more fun than being good. I'll be honest with you. Parker.
Some say.
This has been the Purple Theory Podcast. My name is Grant McGalliard. You can find me on Twitter, spelled like it sounds, @GrantMcGalliard. He is Parker Fleming. He is at Stats of War, and he just recorded two episodes of the BetUS show, which you can find on YouTube, and they air when?
Tuesday and Wednesday at noon Central.
Tuesday and Wednesday at noon Central. Parker, I'll be there. If you find me, take a picture, send it to Parker. He will, I don't know, do something cool.
I'll make Grant get us koozies so we can send you a koozie. Go
Frogs. I'm not going to pay for koozies. Go Frogs. Say go Frogs so we can end this podcast.
Go Frogs.